I imagine we have operators standing by even on Thanksgiving evening. 212-209-2950 is the pledge line. WBAI on life support. Desperately needing our listeners to come through and help us pay the rent, pay the salaries of the three people that work here still. 212-209-2950. It's the number I need you to call. $25. Basic membership. That's all it takes. $25 for a full year subscription. If you have more, of course, more is always better. You can also become a sustaining member, a WBAI buddy, by committing to 12 months at $10 or more a year. You can tell us what account and even pick the day of the month you would like the money extracted. 212-209-2950. Well, it's almost 1 minute after 9 p.m. Ordinarily at this time, you would be hearing backstage stories with Marcia Pendleton. She's taking the evening off tonight, so we're going to present to you, in prime time almost, What's the Frequency? Kenneth, a news and music program produced by Paul Fisher. Enjoy.
Next, and what's the frequency, Kenneth? So by announcing he's running, did Trump just find a way to win another delay?
I'm here today to announce the appointment of a special counsel.
I'm Paul Fisher.
In connection with two ongoing criminal investigations that have received significant public attention.
To meet the spirit and the letter of the law, AG Merrick Garland appointed a special counsel to oversee the DOJ investigations of Trump. Both January 6th and the government documents Trump stashed at Mar-a-Lago.
Today, I signed an order appointing Jack Smith to serve as special counsel. Mr. Smith is a veteran career prosecutor. He began his prosecutorial career in 1994 as an assistant district attorney with the New York County DA's office. From 2008 to 2010, he served with the International Criminal Court, where he supervised war crimes investigations. In 2010, Mr. Smith returned to the Justice Department to serve as chief of the Public Integrity Section, where he led a team of more than 30 prosecutors who handled public corruption and election crimes cases across the United States. Most recently, Mr. Smith served as a chief prosecutor for the special court in The Hague, charged with investigating and adjudicating war crimes in Kosovo. Mr. Smith will begin his work as special counsel immediately and will be returning to the United States from The Hague.
Assurances from Garland and Smith notwithstanding, yes, this will delay the investigations at least a little by adding a whole new layer to the DOJ probes. And no, it will not in any way stop the outrage and attacks from Trump.
The appalling announcement today by the egregiously corrupt Biden administration and their weaponized Department of Justice. Would you like me to talk about that? Larry, would you like me to talk about that? The This horrendous abuse of power is the latest in a long series of witch hunts. It started a long time ago.
The investigation from the Attorney General himself is in the eye of the beholder. And, of course, the former president is saying he won't partake as if, you know, it's a slice of pizza. I mean, it's not up to him.
Battleground is out here now.
He is being investigated for his offenses, and we'll see what they find.
There's not that much time left. How come I had to wake up and want to be somebody?
Begin with the news overnight that Donald Trump has been reinstated by Elon Musk on Twitter. Watching the January 6th committee hearings, Trump's tweets were a big part of the story to be told. What do you think of him being back on Twitter?
I think it's a terrible mistake, and you're absolutely right. As we showed in the January 6th hearings, the president used that platform to incite that attack on the Capitol. His comments about the vice president, his own vice president, put Mike Pence's life in danger. He showed no remorse about that. He continues to lie about his actions on that day. He talks about pardoning the people who attacked police officers and attacked the Capitol that day. And it contradicts what Elon Musk said, that he was going to establish a council to evaluate this. And further contradicts Musk and his claimed concern about bots on his own platform. To subject the decision to a poll in a platform that could be easily abused that way. It just underscores the erratic leadership of Twitter now under Musk, but also the security concerns with security people fleeing Twitter and what that means for the protection of Americans' private data.
What do you make of Elon Musk reinstating Donald Trump?
Well, look, I mean, I get that people are on all sides of this debate. The fact that he did it with a poll of which, you know, however many percent of those could have been bots that aren't real people voting in that. Secondarily, I don't know if, you know, that decision should be made by some poll. I guess we figured it out, almost lost our love in the dark. I mean, what happened, remember specifically when this was all done, so not only was he lighting and accelerating the fire on January 6th, also before January 6th with his conspiracies. At the end of the day, he said, this is what you get when a victory is so unceremoniously basically taken away from the American people. I So not only when it was done did he have any remorse, he said, well, of course you guys had an insurrection because that's what you get when you steal an election. I mean, I remember seeing that specific tweet and just being outraged at how, after all this is done, can you still do that? And so now this idea that he's going to come on and be reformed, everybody knows he won't. And by the way, I'll say as a quick aside, the person probably the most upset today is Devin Nunes, because this is going to tank Truth Social if he does in fact leave.
Celebrating his 80th birthday and basking and claiming bragging rights for averting election disaster for Democrats, President Biden had to field questions about his future plans.
Obviously, a lot of attention on 2024 now that the votes have been cast in the midterms. Two-thirds of Americans in exit polls say that they don't think you should run for re-election. What is your message to them, and how does that factor into your final decision about whether or not to run for re-election?
It doesn't.
What's your message to them? To those two-thirds of Americans?
Watch me.
With a resounding victory in Florida last night. Who do you think would be the tougher competitor, Ron DeSantis or former President Trump, and how is that factoring into your decision?
It would be fun watching them take on each other.
So now that House Republicans have won control of the House, barely.
Wait a minute now. Okay, take two.
I was riding on the Mayflower and I thought I spot some land.
They'll be proposing legislation to fix the things they promised to fix, right?
The dick said, boys, forget the wheel. We're going on.
Street crime and inflation and gas prices and immigration, right?
The question is Ukraine now the 51st state of the United States of America? And what position does Zelensky have in our government? This is outrageous. And the American people deserve answers.
I think I call it America. I said if we hit land, I took a deep breath.
House Republicans, including Judiciary and Oversight Committee chairs in waiting, Jim Jordan and James Comer.
He said, let's set up a fort and start buying a place with beads.
Now make no secret of their agenda when they take control of the next session.
Protecting the president's son who has committed crimes with Americans' tax dollars is a waste. The domestic and international scheme that promised access to wealth in a future Biden administration constitute fraud. And the president's participation in enriching his family is, in a word, abuse.
Where people carry signs around saying ban the bums. I jumped right into
of the highest order.
I hope that I'm not late when I realized I had eaten for 5 days straight.
How about when Hunter Biden sent the email that Mr. Comer pointed to? Sent the email asking for keys to his new office space, one for himself, one for President Biden, one for his uncle Jim Biden, and one for the emissary for the chairman of the Chinese energy company, CFCC. We're concerned about anything that is being done in a political fashion at the Justice Department. Because remember, you got to step back.
The whole kitchen exploded from boiling fat. Food was flying everywhere.
It's supposed to be in this great country, the greatest country ever. It's supposed to be equal treatment under the law. And when you have a Justice Department that's not following that fundamental principle I think that sets our country apart from all others, that is a major problem.
So you think the January 6th insurrectionists have been wrongly imprisoned?
I didn't say anything. All I said is we're going to look at the politics of the Justice Department based on the fact that we have had 14 different, actually more than 14 now, whistleblowers come talk to us. That's what we're going to focus on.
My last question is, what are the grounds?
If we can keep it about Hunter Biden, this is kind of a big deal, we think. If we can keep it about Hunter Biden, that would be great.
Well, I wrapped up on a house with the U.S. flag upon display.
One more question.
Woman, has your leadership promised you that there will be an investigation into the treatment of January 6th defendants next year?
Oh, that was a question I'd asked in conference, and I'd asked that to Steve Scalise. I'd asked him if we could, if he would support investigations into Nancy Pelosi's handling of security at the Capitol on January 6th. I believe that one's really important. I also, in that question, I also asked him about if he would support investigations into the treatment of pre-trial January 6th defendants.
Inside a cab, I went out the other door. This Englishman said fab.
That's something that's also very important.
Standing a chariot that stood parked across from a building advertising brotherhood.
And he said that he would support it through the committees, so that each committee, the committees assigned to that, would be handling it.
Me who I was.
So I look forward to talking with Jamie Comer, who will be our chairman on oversight, and talking with him about investigating that. I think I'll let Matt, if you want to address that one for judiciary.
Yeah, I think hope springs eternal. In the new Congress, that we'll be able to get a lot of these questions answered. You know, last time we were in the majority, Republicans did not send a single subpoena on matters that concerned us at the Department of Justice and at the FBI.
Well, by this time I spit up at trying to make a stab at bringing back any help.
And I've been told that the times, they are changing.
I decided to flip a coin like either heads or tails. But let me know if I should go back to ship or back to jail. So I parked my sailor suit and I got a coin to flip. It came up tails and round my sail, so I made it back to the ship.
Clearly, they think they can score points by trashing Hunter Biden, Pelosi, and the prosecution of the Capitol attackers, and turning that into impeachment of President Biden, twice if possible.
They asked me my name.
To exact revenge and some kind of equivalency to the twice impeached Trump.
I was employed. They let me go right away. They were very paranoid.
It's the very kind of agenda that cost Republicans their red wave in the House and retaking control of the Senate at all. And the current turmoil over Republican leadership positions in both the House and Senate.
But the funniest thing was when I was leaving the bay, I saw three ships sailing. They were all heading my way. I asked the captain what his name was and how come he didn't drive a truck. He said his name was Columbus. good luck.
We underperformed among voters who did not like President Biden's performance.
We update our online spaces at a quarter hourly basis. We update our online spaces with the virtual embraces.
In, among independents and among moderate Republicans.
Think our actions are all traceless. I don't
who looked at us and concluded too much chaos, too much negativity.
I don't want to share my activities with you.
And we turned off a lot of these centrist voters.
The conversations we hold and the stories we're told.
Which is why I never predicted a red wave to begin with, if you all recall.
Why are we bored until something goes wrong?
I said all along this is going to be close.
Stuck in a place where we don't belong. Something to chase.
So I guess to follow up on the earlier question, what's your assessment right now of the health of the Republican Party? Is the party divided?
We update our online spaces at a quarter hourly basis. We update our online spaces.
The government and our future employers use our photos against us.
Well, look, I was here in 08.
While robots all replace us, I don't want to share my activities with you. I don't want to share my activities.
Talk about getting clobbered. There were 40 of us. 40. It took us 6 years to crawl out of the hole after the 08 election. I'm disappointed in the outcome this year.
So we don't turn. Why are we bored into?
But 50 is a hell of a lot better than 40.
He's still in an uphill battle to get himself elected House Speaker. And even if he does, it seems clear that the Boberts, Gohmerts, Gaetzes, and Taylor Greens of his caucus, and Trump himself, would throw McCarthy under the bus at the drop of a hat, to mix a metaphor, if they don't get what they want.
Kevin is the biggest disappointment, probably of any friend I've ever had. He was a friend. Um, you know, before the election, I started to notice he was defending Donald Trump more than he was defending his own members of Congress. But he is the guy. He is the entire reason Donald Trump is still a political figure. Because in the caucus, in the Republican caucus, after January 6th, there were some of us speaking out. There was a lot of crickets, people trying to figure out where was this going to go. And the second Kevin McCarthy, in his cowardice, showed up to Mar-a-Lago, it changed the tenor in the caucus to, like, I guess we're doing this. Donald Trump saying Kevin McCarthy is a coward. If he becomes speaker, it will be the worst time of his life, and history will not be kind.
Our majority, we would like to have been higher, but they lost in the Senate, they lost the governors, they lost the state house. But in the House of Republicans, we actually won the majority. It's not the size of the gavel, it's the power of the gavel, of who holds it. We'll end up with 222 members, exactly the size of what the Democrats have now. But all the work that we want to do, from rolling out the investigations, from rebuilding our economy, from securing our border, none of that can go forward without us moving forward on the floor.
You know, but it's all money. I mean, that, he'll even say it was money, because we all of a sudden see the, I say we, so the 10 of us that voted for impeachment, we've all kind of made our little group, right? And somebody sent a picture of him at Mar-a-Lago the second this thing popped, and we're like, what is he doing? And of course, immediately there was a fundraising thing up. And I think all it came down to is it's about raising money, and he always wants to become speaker. Well, great. You may get the title, Kevin. Congratulations. It's going to be miserable, and history is not going to judge you well. He's going to be completely hostage. So first off, Marjorie Taylor Greene recently said that she's all in with Kevin McCarthy. Listen, she doesn't say something unless she's been promised something. Is against Marjorie Taylor Greene because he wants to be more famous than her, and she's kind of stealing his thunder. He, if he wins, if he gets to 218, because we don't know what the majority is going to be, it's likely there will be a Republican majority. Any one of those people, you know, a couple, two or three, can deny him the 218 votes he needs. And so he's going to be walking around making deals with everybody, cutting every deal he can with the crazies. I call it the Freedom Club. Now, the question, Nicole, is going to be the moderates who are left. I don't even know who they are anymore. I don't know what they believe. Are they willing to say, hey, Kevin, this has gone too far, and we will vote against you if you acquiesce to whatever this demand is? Now, truthfully, as moderates, we generally wanted to get along. We wanted to govern. So it's a lot harder for him to do it. The Freedom Club just wants to burn it all down.
What are you going to do in terms of these Democrats that you have on such important committees? You've talked in the past about removing Ilhan Omar. You've talked about removing Adam Schiff, about Eric Swalwell. Will you deliver?
Yes, I will. I'll keep that promise.
Hello, I'm Dan Rather, and you're listening to What's the Frequency, Kenneth? With musical host Paul Fisher in New York City.
There's no greater official honor for me than to stand on this floor and to speak for the people of San Francisco. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco, serving the great state of California, and defending our Constitution.
Nancy Pelosi, the first and only woman to be Speaker of the House, twice.
And with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress.
Steny Hoyer, also in his 80s, will step down from House Democratic leadership too.
Why is it time? Well, I think, for one thing, when you're in the minority, it really is time to train people to be in the majority. I think we're going to take the majority back in 2024. I think the Republican leadership is not going to be able to create unity of purpose. Ryan couldn't, Boehner couldn't, and they both left because they couldn't. I think McCarthy's going to have a very, very tough time. But it's a good time to have new leaders come in the minority, and get their sea legs and make their positions known and to learn how to be a leader. So it seemed to me, yes, I could have been reelected, but I'm not going to be there a lot longer. Kid people that I'm going to retire in 2036. But I thought it was a good time. And I think we have good people who are looking to get into office. Of course, I endorsed Hakeem Jeffries, who's an extraordinarily able guy. And I think he's going to do an excellent job.
Jim Clyburn, also in his 80s, is also stepping down from his leadership position.
Well, we've been a team, Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, myself. We have worked together, I think, very effectively. And we thought that if we could put together some orderly transition, it ought to be had. And now, if we had a different scenario, if we were to have maintained the majority, then we had brought in the minority, but it's the right time. And the way we're doing it, I think, is the most effective way, the most efficient way, because it's all about regaining the majority as soon as we possibly can. And I think we'll do that in the next election.
The likely successor to Pelosi is Hakeem Jeffries of New York. Currently, House Democratic Caucus leader.
Hey, you know, Catherine Clark, who's currently our assistant speaker, Pete Aguilar, who's currently the vice chair, have been part of the leadership team over the last few cycles. working hard in connection with Speaker Pelosi, the Biden administration, and others to deliver for everyday Americans. I've had the opportunity over the last two terms to serve as chair of the House Democratic Caucus, and my goal has really been just to work hard to bring people together. To legislate with precision. To message with discipline, to communicate our values. The fact that we stand for freedom, that we stand for unity, we stand for democracy, we stand for progress for all Americans across the country. And my focus, Jake, has really been do the job that I have as caucus chair to the best of my ability and try and let the rest take care of itself.
Even before she made her decision to step down as leader, but stay on as a just re-elected member of Congress, Pelosi was preparing for her final weeks as Speaker. Final weeks before Republicans take over the House majority. To what needs to get done in the lame duck session of Congress, while Democrats are still in control.
Before the new Congress is sworn in January, you have a lot of work to do in what will be a lame duck session in December. Probably the top of that list, extending the debt limit, because Republicans have said if they get the majority, they're going to try to force concessions from Democrats in order to extend the debt limit. Do you believe you can get either a permanent or a very large extension of the debt limit during the lame duck session?
Well, I think it would be very important for us to do so. I think it's important to note that what the Republicans have said is they're going to use the vote on the debt limit as leverage to cut Medicare and Social Security. I think the public should know that. It is a difference of opinion, and I think the public should know who's on their side on all of this. We cannot allow them to cut Social Security. It's an insurance program, as is Medicare. People paid into it, and the Republicans cannot use it as leverage to say, we'll only lift the debt ceiling if you will reduce the benefits for our seniors and others on Medicare and Social Security. So, we'll see what they contend that they want to do. But our best shot, I think, is to do it now. But again, winning the Senate gave us a lot of leverage for how we go forward if we don't do it in the lame duck. But my hope would be that we could get it done in the lame duck. The Constitution removes all doubt. That the full faith and credit of the United States of America is not in doubt. But this is a practice that we have engaged in, and so we'll have to, again, lift the debt ceiling so that the full faith and credit of the United States is respected. at this great risk to even discussing not doing it. When the Republicans did this before, it lowered our credit rating. Lowered our credit rating, even though it didn't eventually happen, but just the discussion of it. So this is dealing with fire.
In the final Senate battle, still outstanding, between Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker in Georgia. Walker's campaign comments continue to be weird. When it comes to vampires versus werewolves, Walker as a dog in that fight.
Oh, you ever watch a stupid movie late at night hoping it's gonna get better, don't get better, but you keep watching it anyway? Because the other night I was watching this movie.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, through the streets of Soho in the rain.
I was watching this movie called Fright Night, Freak Night, or some kind of night, but it was about vampires.
Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Ah, werewolves of London.
I don't know if you know vampires are cool people, are they not? But I'm gonna tell you something that I found out. A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know that?
Werewolves of London. Around your kitchen door. You better not let him in.
I never knew that, so I didn't want to be a vampire anymore. I want to be a werewolf.
Werewolves of London again.
But then anyway, as I'm watching this movie, and let me tell you how stupid it is, because it's 1 a.m. So I'm watching my TV, are these kids watching their TV, a vampire kill on their TV? So you know it's kind of stupid, but I'm still watching, though. As I'm watching this show, what was funny, these kids had a vampire in their attic at their house. So they were watching their TV. Now I'm watching my TV, they're watching their TV, or they see the vampire killer on their TV. So they win this contest to bring this actor. Now y'all got to stay with me. Bring this actor who's a vampire killer from their TV to get rid of this real-life vampire in their attic. So as this actor comes to their home, he got all the right stuff. He got all the right stuff because, you know, I got to have a stake and got to have a thing to kill him in the heart.
You better stay away from him. You'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet
him. And he got a necklace of garlic because that worked. I don't know what it does, but it worked. Got to have a cross because it burns. I know that worked. And then all of a sudden, this is what was so funny about it. As they're walking through the house, this guy's got the holy water. He's blessing the house, this actor. Now, he's all fake. He's blessing the house with his holy water. They walked upstairs and this vampire looking real good in this black suit. Whoa, that sounds like Senator Warnock, doesn't it? Looking all good in this black suit, floated from the ceiling. He floated from the ceiling looking good and cool. And I'm thinking, whoa, they better get out of that house. If somebody float from your ceiling, get out of that house. That's not your house. But as he floated from the ceiling, the kids jumped behind their hero. As they jumped behind their hero, the guy jumped in front of him with this holy water, threw it on the vampire forehead. He covered his eyes. Then he took his hand away. He started laughing. And he said, that don't work.
I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the queen.
He took the cross, he put it on the vampire forehead. And the vampire didn't even do anything. He said, that don't work. And that's the way it is in our life. It doesn't even work unless you got faith.
His hair was perfect.
It is time for us to have faith. We got to have faith in our fellow brother. Got to have faith in this country. Got to have faith in this in the elected officials. And right now, that's the reason I'm here.
The turkeys, aren't they? My fellow Americans, please welcome the 2022 National Thanksgiving Turkeys, Chocolate and Chip. After receiving their presidential pardon today, Chocolate and Chip are going to head to North Carolina State. Now, When we told them they were joining the wolf pack, they got a little scared. But then we explained it was just a mascot.
The Rules Committee will come to order. America's history with the indigenous people that are native to this land is atrocious. There is no other way to put it. It's appalling. But the truth is that simply acknowledging this truth is not enough. Words alone don't absolve us of the horrific injustices brought on Native American communities at the hands of the U.S. government. Actions do. And that is why I'm hopeful that today's historic hearing opens a new door towards building greater understanding in the possible inclusion of
the governing ranking member Cole and distinguished members of the committee, OCO. Hello. Bring you greetings from the Cherokee Nation Reservation. I speak to you today on behalf of not only the more than 440,000 citizens of the Cherokee Nation, but millions of Cherokee citizens who have waited for this day to come since 1835. This morning, we'll examine a promise made to the Cherokee Nation in the Treaty of New Echota, 1835. That, Mr. Chairman, is our removal treaty. This was the agreement that directly led to the deaths of thousands of Cherokees on the Trail of Tears. In this treaty, the Cherokee Nation conveyed the entirety of our lands east of the Mississippi, about 7 million acres, to the United States. In exchange, the government of the United States made certain promises. One of those promises was that it is, quote, stipulated that the Cherokee Nation shall be entitled to a delegate in the House of Representatives of the United States whenever Congress shall make provision for the same. That's Article 7 of the Treaty of New Echota. The carefully constructed promise found in that article was in fact critical to secure the agreement of the Cherokee people. The federal government agreed to the delegate. The parties entered into the Treaty of New Echota, and the Senate of the United States ratified that treaty. Our right to a delegate was brought forward in our last treaty with the United States in 1866, and it remains the supreme law of the land. It's time for this body to honor this promise and seat our delegate in the House of Representatives. The Treaty of New Echota is a living, valid treaty, and the delegate provision is intact. Lapse of time cannot abrogate a treaty. That is settled law.
I will never forget the first time I saw the Capitol. It was on a cold January day when I was 6 years old. My father, Thomas D'Alessandro Jr., was about to be sworn in for his fifth term in Congress. Representing our beloved hometown of Baltimore. I was riding in the car with my brothers, and they were thrilled and jumping up and down and saying to me, "Nancy, look, Nancy, look, there's the Capitol." And every time I'd say, "I don't see any Capitol. Is it a capital A, a capital B, or a capital C?" And finally, I saw it. A stunning white building with a magnificent dome. I believed then, as I believe today, this is the most beautiful building in the world because of what it represents. The Capitol is a temple of our democracy, of our Constitution, of our highest ideals. Last week, the American people spoke. And their voices were raised in defense of liberty, of the rule of law, and of democracy itself. It's been with great pride in my 35 years in the House, I have seen this body grow more reflective of our great nation, our beautiful nation. When I came to the Congress in 1987, there were 12 Democratic women. Now they're over 90, and we want more. When I first came to the floor at 6 years old, never would I have thought that someday I would go from homemaker to House Speaker. In fact, I never intended to run for public office. Mommy and Daddy taught us through their example that public service is a noble calling and that we all have a responsibility to help others. In our family, my brother Tommy then became mayor of Baltimore also. But it's been my privilege to play a part in forging extraordinary progress for the American people. I have enjoyed working with three presidents. Achieving historic investments in clean energy with President George Bush. Transformative health care reform with President Barack Obama. and forging the future from infrastructure to health care to climate action with President Joe Biden. We must move boldly into the future, grounded by the principles that have propelled us this far and open to fresh possibilities for the future.
For the complete playlist, you can go to the program's Facebook page. What's the Frequency, Paul? I'm Paul Fisher. The Blues Project, that takes me back to my high school days when I actually went to see them. You've been listening to What's the Frequency, Kenneth, here on WBAI New York, 99.5.